turning tonight to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and reading verse 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Our subject is a question: how to become a child of God. How to become a child of God. This is the greatest position, the most elevated status a man or a woman can get in this life, but also in the life to come. You miss that, you miss everything. And the Gospel of John, because this is written by Apostle John, the Gospel of John was written with one special and specific purpose. Jesus is the Christ, and only in him we find everlasting life, in no one else. But still in the same Gospel of John, it reinforces the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. One God, three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is the only one who chose to be born, where to be born, and why to be born. He chose it. He is the only one who chose his name. My parents, yours, they didn't ask us. Maybe if they ask me today, I may find a better name. But they didn't ask us. But Jesus is the only one who chose to be born, where to be born, when to be born, what to be born for, but at the same time, he chose his name. His name means the Savior. The name Jesus, in our society today, names do not mean much. But in the Word of God, every name has a meaning. Every name has its importance. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Christ. Christ means the chosen one. Jesus the Savior, and Christ the chosen one. How can we be saved? How can we have relation, fellowship with the living God? He gave us Jesus Christ. God saves through the chosen one. That's the meaning of his name. Libraries, books and books, so much ink. But just in his name, you find the purpose for which the Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth. But still, just giving a small background before we come to our text, that the summary, the 18 verses we just read in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, they are also called the prologue. And in this prologue, we have an introduction but also a summary about the two natures of Christ: the God man. Not the man God. Man may try. Maybe for you are your own God. But man, no matter how you elevate yourself, no matter how educated you can be, how smart, how brilliant you can be, there is no way for you and me to become gods. It's impossible. It must be the other way around. God, the great God, the living God, the one who fills heaven and earth, the one who created heaven and earth, must come down in the flesh, in a human body, but without sin. That's why he can save sinners like us. That's why he can go to the cross of Calvary and die for sinners like you and me, if ever we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The two natures of Christ: 100% God, 100% man. God of the very God and man of the very man. So you find that in the Gospel of John. But in the prologue also, in this introduction, we are told that Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the light of the world. So you have all those attributes only qualifying the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else. The Creator came to visit his creatures. Do you know, maybe this will surprise you, do you know that if you are alive tonight, it's because Christ decided that you will still be alive? Oh, you may think because you eat good food or you have a nice job, that's why, or you have the best doctor in this world. But you are still alive. You still breathe because the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be still here. Just a fraction of a second, not even minutes. And here today, in a fraction of seconds, gone. Gone forever. Oh, if you live without Christ in this earth. You know, Yuri Gagarin, the first man in the space, when he came back, he proudly said, I was in heaven and there was no God. But a young, small girl wrote a letter to him. Sorry, my uncle Yuri Gagarin, have you ever read Matthew 5, verse 8? Blessed are those with a pure heart, for they shall see God. If you haven't seen God, check your heart. But another astronaut wrote to him, saying, my dear colleague, if you haven't found God on earth, you will not find him in heaven. So that's very important. What do we live for the most? What do we stand for? Where is our heart tonight? If it has to be scrutinized, examined, going through the X-ray of God, where will our heart be? Our mind, our life, our will? What kind of person? Whom do we belong to? Do we have a fellowship with the living God? What do we live for? What is the purpose of life? Just to wake up, to work, to travel, to enjoy yourself, to enjoy all sorts of luxuries and so on. Is this only what it is there in this life? Oh, there must be something else. So the Lord Jesus Christ came, the Creator. Oh, that should be actually the greatest news, which should be on the front cover of every magazine, every newspaper. But this world, oh, unfortunately, this world is more concerned, more interested about the bling-bling, more than real issues of life. But remember, all that glitters is not gold. Many things shine, many things attract us, many things deceive us. But all those things, there is no way that they can bring us anything spiritual now in this life. What about the life after? Oh, dear friends, tonight, how to become a child of God? That's the question. And the two verses, John 12:13, gives us the simplest answer. And in that verse, read the verse again, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So he gives us a simple answer, and he makes three statements made in the negative form and mentioned almost, they are telling us almost the same thing three times to make sure that we have understood it. That's the meaning. Three times, three negatives, just to bring before you, first of all, what it is not to be a child of God. And the first thing he says in verse 13, I start with verse 13, then we will come back to verse 12. The first thing he says, to be a child of God is not to be born of the blood. What does it mean? Oh, it means it has nothing to do with natural birth. It has nothing to do with bloodline, bloodstream, blood lineage. You cannot inherit it. It's impossible. And you cannot earn it also. The Jews, if we continue our reading in John chapter 8, the Jews of Jesus' time were very proud about their identity. And they thought they were God's children just because they are descendants from Father Abraham, Abraham the father of believers. But in John 8, Jesus said to them, no, you are not. You thought you are just because you have Father Abraham, and from the stones, if it was just a matter of descendants to make descendants of Abraham, God could change the stones and make them children of Abraham. So it's not of blood. Your mom and dad can be Christians, but that doesn't make of you a Christian. God has no grandchildren. He has only children. No one becomes a horse because he is born in a stable. You must be born again, says the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first statement. Oh, it's not by natural birth. It's not by biological birth. It's not by inheritance. It's not by descent. The second statement he makes, it's not of the will of the flesh, which means no matter what is your power tonight, you are incapable to make yourself a Christian. You are not able to do that. It's beyond, it's beyond your strength, it's beyond your capacity. You may behave like a Christian and even think you are a Christian, but you are not indeed. Because by behaving outwardly like a Christian while inwardly you are not, you are just doing, as they put it, the proverb says it, don't judge a book by its cover. And in French it says, the robe doesn't make the monk. So you may behave, you may even feel, it's so nice to be in the church. You have been attending so many times. This is not to put you off. But the fact of attending church, the fact of attending services, the fact of behaving like a Christian, or the fact of being in a circle of Christian friends doesn't make of you a Christian. And this is why John is saying here again, and it is the inspired word of God, it is not of the flesh. No amount of good works, no amount of resolutions, no amount of determination, no amount of intentions can make of you a child of God. It's not about reformation, it's not about education, it's not about imagination, it's not about imitation, but it is by regeneration. That's the only way we become children of the living God. Oh, it's not of the blood. Not of natural or anything biological. Second, you are incapable. Even if you have the hardest determination tonight, that won't make you a child of God. And the third statement he makes here, it is not by the will of man. It is not by the will of man. Man, no man, great, small, angel, great, small, is able to make of any one of us a child of God. Oh, the preachers, as I'm doing now, we are able to proclaim the plan of salvation. We are able to speak to you about what the Lord Jesus Christ have done. Oh, being God, he came down and he gave his life. He suffered the physical pain of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary are nothing compared to the spiritual pain, agony, atrocity, the enormity of the pain he was suffering on the cross of Calvary. Oh, the physical pain is nothing. We can explain that. But that should make you emotional. That is not what should bring you to seek the Lord. Oh, your spiritual state, your spiritual condition should make you to haste to wake up, to shake yourself, oh Lord, save me, because I cannot do it by myself. So it's not of the blood, it's not of the flesh, it's not by the will of a man, the priest, the monk, the cardinal, the bishop, the pope. Nobody can make of any one of us here a child of God. So church, preachers, rituals, ceremonies, and so on are not enough to bring a person into the kingdom of God. Now, after the negatives, the three negatives, there is one positive statement. And I'm sure you will agree with that. One good news eradicates, eliminates thousands of bad news. So you cannot make it. It's impossible for you. Your parents cannot make it. It's impossible for them. Oh, the president, the queen, the king, the prime minister. Nobody can help you in anything in relation to your spiritual state. But in verse 12, verse 13, he gives the person, the only person who can make of you a child of God. And here is the answer in verse 13. Oh, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's simple. But of God. God is the ultimate cause of salvation. The prophet Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. Which means it's not in you, it's not up to you, and it's not from you, but it is of God. Oh, I repeat that again. That summarizes all what we said up till now. It's not in you. It's not up to you. It's not from you, but it is of God. The only way to be saved from our sins and have our sins be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he has done on the cross of Calvary is that God himself must receive us. Because it is of God, God must state the conditions. So here, there are two conditions given to us in order to become a child of God. And it's not our conditions, it's not preacher's conditions, it's not man's conditions, it's not this world's conditions, but the conditions are stated for us and set up by God himself. And here they are in verse 12, the two conditions. I call them twin sisters because they are inseparable. You cannot separate them. You leave one, you miss everything. They are together. Verse 12, but as many as received him, as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Here are the two twin sisters, inseparable. The first one is to receive. The second is to believe on his name. And we must explain that in the lapse of time remaining. So let's explain the first one. As many as received him. What it means to receive him? Here simply, the first thing it means to receive the Lord Jesus Christ is to receive forgiveness as a free gift, unmerited gift. We do not deserve it. We cannot work for it. We must just receive it. It's a gift. So it means to receive him means you get hold of him. You grasp him. And you yield your life unto him. Or you yield your heart. You yield your mind. You yield your determination. You yield your will. And this is what makes you a child of God. So you must receive. And you must trust him personally. Faith is something individual and personal. I cannot, I wish I can do it for you. But I cannot. I wish I can fill this room with tears for you, just to save you. But I cannot. This is beyond my power. It's beyond my comprehension even. But it must be your trust, the trust which God bestows into your hearts can bring you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But to receive him is also the second aspect, is to repent and believe in his work on the cross of Calvary. What is to repent? Oh, to repent is not just to change your view about the Lord Jesus Christ. To repent has to do with four things. I just mentioned them, not explaining them, because we know them. And they have been explained so many times in this place. Repentance has to do with the mind. It has to do with the will. It has to do with the heart. It has to do with the direction we are thinking. So those are the four aspects. If those matters have never touched you, you have never changed in your mind, in your heart, in your will, and in the direction you are taking, there will never be repentance in your life, and you will never become a child of God. But I hope the Lord Jesus Christ can help you to change your mind, to change your heart. Oh, the heart. You know, your heart is more wicked than you think. The heart, the heart problem of man is the problem of his heart. Unless the heart is changed, the mind is changed, the will is changed, and the way we are thinking, which leads to destruction and perdition, that must be changed. There must be a U-turn, 180 degrees turn in our lives in order to know Christ and to have our sins forgiven by his redeeming grace. Oh, to receive him means to come to him and confess him and speak to him. Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in thee as my Lord, but also my God, my Savior, my King. But to repent also means I come to God and I express myself in this way to God. God, now I fully understand who I am. Who am I? A sinner, a wretched sinner, doomed, no fellowship with the living God. God will never listen to my prayers. I do not have any spiritual feeling. I do not have any spiritual emotion. Everything is just this world, me, I, and myself. I live for the present, the here and now, and nothing for the future. Oh, there is no way to be accepted by the living God. But also, I express myself to the living God, saying, I'm dead. Oh, I think I'm alive. But because of sin, actually I'm dead. Oh, Lord, raise me from the dead. Raise me. Give me new life. Give me new heart. Give me new character. So I look on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on behalf of sinners on the cross of Calvary. So I approach him. To receive him then is more than just an intellectual assent or approval. Have you received him? Oh, you don't need to lift up your hand. You don't need to come to the front. You don't even need to see me after. Where you are now, trust. Look unto him. Look unto what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on your behalf on the cross of Calvary. If you believe and trust in him. Listen to what he says. In Matthew 11, verse 28, he said, "Come unto me." Then he said also, "Come, for all things are now ready." And then he said also, "Come ye to the waters." This is in Isaiah 55. "Come ye, buy and eat." Come without money, without price. God has nothing to sell. God is not a tradesman. He only gives. That's the character of our God. Or maybe I said too much in receiving what it means to receive him. But now we must come to the second aspect. What does it mean to believe on his name? And I anticipated earlier by mentioning that names in the Bible are important. Oh, my name, your name may not mean much to you or to me. But the name of the Lord Jesus Christ means a lot. And in the Bible, some people have their name. God changed the name of some people just to fit them and to make them appropriate for the ministry or the task he has called them for. So what is his name? Oh, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And your name and my name describes your character, It describes your personality, and a name differentiates you with other people. So you see, believe on his name, his character, his specific person, his nature, you must believe in that. But to believe in his name is also to believe all what the Bible says about him, or to believe in his character, believe in his miracles, believe in his atoning death on the cross of Calvary, believe in his resurrection. This is facts. It's not man-made opinion or imagination. Or to believe in him is to believe in all what he claims to be. You must believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for sinners, for the sin of sinners. Believe what he says about you. Oh, you know, you cannot believe in him and still believe in yourself. Everything about me, just me. Oh, no, you must deny yourself. You must crucify yourself on the cross of Calvary. You cannot believe in him and still believe in yourself. To believe in him is to accept his teaching, all what he said in the Word of God. You know, Christ is the greatest teacher. He is infallible. He knows perfectly well his subject. He has the answer to every question. There is nothing you will ask him and he will tell you, oh, come back tomorrow. He has the answer to every question. Oh, this is why we must listen to him. He is the author of the Bible. You must sit and absorb every word he says, every word he utters. He spake like no other man. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say? He said, I am a sinner and I deserve hell. And I believe in that. He said, I have stolen God. I have stolen my life and I have stolen him. And I believe in that. This is to believe on his name. He said also, by believing in him, I receive what? I receive forgiveness of sins. That is to believe on his name. Oh, I come to conclusion. If I receive him, I believe on his name, what do I get? What's the point? And the text gives us the answer. He gave them the power. So in believing on his name and receiving him, I'm given a privilege. I become a child of God. So he gives me that position as if I have deserved it, even though he has done it all. I receive a new name and a new identity. What is my new name and new identity? Oh, I am a Christian. For the world, the word Christian is... It's nothing. But in the Bible, the word Christian, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, the word Christian is an honor. It is a great honor. And this is why you cannot become a Christian without Christ. Christ, Christian, and the first time in the Bible believers were called Christian was in a town called Antioch. They were not called Antiochians. So this is why when you become a Christian, you are not called a Londoner. You are not called an Antiochian, but you are called a Christian. Do you see the word Christian? You have an acronym at the end, I-A-N. Christ, I am nothing. So without Christ, I am nothing. You don't have Christ, what do you have? Emptiness. So the word Christian is my new identity, it's my new position, it's my new character, I'm accepted by the living God. Now my prayers, when I pray, God can hear my prayers because I'm his child. God becomes my father. So I receive more than expected. Oh, I come to him as a lost sinner. What do I receive? I became a saint. A saint sinner, and my name is written in his book of life. My name is written in heaven. I have fellowship with God, my Father. When I knock at the door is open for me because I belong to him. And I receive a legitimate position of being a child of God. We receive life more abundantly. Ask him for grace. Can I plead with you tonight? Ask him for grace, you will not be disappointed. You can pray to him and he will give you that privilege. Where do you stand tonight as I close? Are you among the people who have rejected him, or are you among the people who have received him and who believe on his name? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Christ. He paid the price. Repent. Trust in him and yield your life unto him. And the verse says, but as many, today is the Lord of salvation. As many, heaven is not overcrowded. There is still room. There is still space. As many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. May the Lord help you and make you to become one of his children. Let's close by singing hymn number 393. Hymn number 393.